Boy, those two sharing sure were great.
Boy, I keep thinking of the manifestations that we heard this morning and how when Liz and Kimberly shared, boy, it was something, wasn't it? How it fit. This whole life fits if you keep God first. It's really interesting. Just stay in there. Hang in there and stay in there with prayer and believing God, you know. The deliverance is coming if you need deliverance. Because you know he exists. You come to him with believing and you expect that he's a rewarder. He's going to reward you, not because of your good looks or all the verses you know, but because he's God. That's why. And you can be as sure as that as you are sitting on your chair. None of you thought, oh, is this chair going to hold me? You just sat down. You knew what was available. You knew how to receive it. You knew what to do with it after you got it. Simple. Share God's word, Reverend Dean Mercado. Dino!
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. All right. My phone. So, thank you, Jerry, for asking me to share God's word today. God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. What I'm going to be sharing on is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Look, this topic, it's just a little topic in God's word. You know, I found a little bit about the subject. It's like that little red thread that you just start pulling it and it just keeps going and going and going. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1, please. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, in the name of is the part that indicates by authority of. So it's in the name of Jesus Christ. And that indicates the authority of. It's as if that person was saying it. So we're talking about the name of Jesus Christ. So many times in the Bible, a person's name, an individual's name, is used to express, the meaning of that name is used to express the person's authority or character or reputation. And Jesus Christ is a great example of that. He's a great example of everything. So in Matthew 1:21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So Jesus means God saves. And Christ means anointed. It comes from Christos, which comes from the word Messiah. So to say Jesus Christ is to say Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Anointed One. And in Bible times, kings were anointed. And they were anointed with oil before coronation. Priests were also anointed with oil. And that was to set them apart in service for the Lord. To be anointed with oil represented one being anointed with the presence of God, being chosen by God and designated by a spiritual service for him. As the Messiah, Jesus Christ was anointed king over Israel, and he was the chosen one. He was the promised seed. In Psalm 147, you don't have to go, I'm just going to tell you. In Psalm 147:4, it says, "He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their name." How many stars we got out there? Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1, verse 14. Looking at all this stuff, it's kind of changed me in a way. It kind of just quadrupled and multiplied my respect for Jesus Christ. In Genesis 1:14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Those are those stars that God knows the names of. God created the stars, and the word signs is to mark. And it's used of marking someone of significance to come. So at the opening of the written word, God is already declaring that lights in the firmament of heaven are a sign for important things to come. This record anticipates the coming of the one who is explicitly prophesied in Genesis 3:15. You can go there. Genesis 3:15. One of the great, great promises of all time and all history. It says, "And God will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This single verse sets forth the central theme of all the scriptures, that red thread, our Redeemer, which is interwoven throughout the Old and the New Testament, an offspring of the woman, the promised seed who will ultimately destroy all the works of the adversary. So with thinking about the stars and how they were named, ultimately they were named by God. It's so cool. The names of the stars were passed down through centuries, through different languages. And the ancient meanings of those names, when understood, make up the foundation of true biblical astronomy, not to be confused with astrology, the counterfeit, okay? So celestial bodies are God-arranged and have definite God-ordained meaning and significance. And there are 12 groupings of stars called constellations, known to represent eternal truths. The constellation Leo was and is a specific sign placed in the heavens to communicate part of God's redemptive plan. You ever see those constellations? Leo depicts this verse, Genesis 3:15, as a lion's paw crushing the serpent's head. The lion represents Jesus Christ, and the serpent represents the adversary. So God had his word written in the stars, and he put that up there long before it was written down like where we could read. And I remember sharing stuff like this with Albert when we were in college, and he told me years later that that's what kind of got his attention, that God wrote his word in the stars. And to picture the stars up there and that Jesus Christ is up there crushing the serpent's head. This is the person that we're talking about when we say in the name of Jesus Christ. So he's up there represented, and he's also in here, in you and in me. And I, just to even get into this and talk about it, I have just been completely humbled, and just, it's shocking the privilege we have to use that name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ inherited a name, Luke 2. Luke 2:21. And in verse, Luke 2:21. Yeah, that's what I said. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now, an angel is what? Is a messenger, right? Who named Jesus Christ? God did, his father. So he inherited that name from God. He inherited a more excellent name than any other name in heaven or earth. Why? Because he was the only begotten Son of God. And when you're the firstborn, the only begotten Son of God, you receive all the rights of the firstborn, which is a huge deal. There's just no other name ever greater than the name of Jesus Christ. There was no, there is none, and there will never be. Philippians 2, verse 9. Says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, wherever that is. Just, there's no way somebody's going to hide to not bow. Where are you going to go? Jesus Christ, he inherited a name. He also acquired a name. In Ephesians 4:8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity what?
Captive
and gave gifts unto men. In Colossians 2:15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ achieved these things. That's how he acquired a name. By his conquest and victory over sin, sickness, death, disease, all of these things. He acquired an excellent name because of his achievements. And we recently had communion. You guys have communion recently? On the heels of that? You know, the cry of triumph, Jesus Christ's words on the cross. They're recorded as in Matthew 27:46, it says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They left it in the Aramaic and stuff. They didn't know what to do with it, really. So they said, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They got it completely the opposite. Instead of it being a cry of triumph, they wrote it as a cry of defeat. In the hour Jesus Christ would have needed God the most, he forsook him. Oh, hell no. It was a cry of triumph. It was more like, my God, for this purpose was I spared or kept or reserved. For what purpose? For your redemption and mine. The highest price paid. Full payment. Wasn't no credit card, no leaving it a little extra on the end to pay it later, lay away. Fully paid the legal price and all the legal requirements for our redemption and salvation. That's what Christ's purpose was. And he finished that perfect work. It's done. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to make it better or polish it up. It's done. Jesus saved. So, what are we going to do with that? Well, he came to save and so that we can have what Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us. And so that we can use that name, the most powerful name that there ever will be. We can use that name. Jesus Christ gave it all. He gave his life, didn't he? You know, you get so blessed at communion time thinking about all that and remembering all that. He gave it all. He gave it up. And he also gave us his name where we can use that name along with all that it is. Now, the adversary wouldn't have done this had he known the mystery, would he? No, he wouldn't have done it. Christ in you and Christ in me means that It's like Christ still being here because it's Christ in us. It's a huge deal to have his name and to have him in us because this was God's whole plan. He didn't let the adversary know about it, so the adversary couldn't screw it up. So we have this incredible name. Why? Why did God do all this in this day and time? What does it mean to us? It's because God so loved us and that he wants to bless us and help us. So we have the privilege to use that name of Jesus Christ. So now we're going to look at prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And what I want to say about that, it's prayer like if Jesus Christ was praying himself, except it's you praying and it's me praying. Ephesians 5:20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 16:23. John 16:23, it says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We do not pray to Jesus. We pray to God in Jesus' name. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be what? Until this time, they didn't pray in the name of Jesus. That's not something they knew to do or that they should even think about doing that. But Jesus Christ was teaching them now, ask in my name and you shall receive. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And, or at that day, ye shall ask in my name. You're going to ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. The Father himself loveth you. Jesus was, I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray yourself. Because God loves you. The Father himself loves you. So, we got to believe that. We have to believe that. Did you ever drop a name before? You know? I mean when somebody told you to. Not that you just dropped the name trying to get something done anyway, right? Did you ever tell someone not to use your name? Where there's a situation, say, oh, don't mention me. Don't say I said. You know? Because then why? Because then you're behind it. If somebody uses your name, then they're going to think they're behind it. So you say, scratch my name off of there. No way. Don't mention me. But you drop a name that somebody says, well, tell them I said. So then you go talk to somebody, and this person of importance, wherever they are, you mention their name. You start talking, and then the people are like, resistant. They're putting up, you know, pushing back. And then you say, well, so-and-so said, you know, that I should da-da-da-da. And then they're like, oh. Now they're thinking. It's just like that person said it. So either they're going to believe that person said it and let you have whatever, or they're going to be like, I got to find out. And they call him. Yeah, I said, like, oop, wah, wah. All right. So Prayer in the name of Jesus Christ is like Jesus praying himself, except it's you and me. Or it's like there's this really rich guy, and you know his son, who the really rich father absolutely adores, okay? And instead of having to ask the son to talk to his father for you or for stuff, you have the ability to go directly to that father. And instead of the father saying, "Who the heck are you? What are you doing here?" That father receives you just as he would have received his adored son. And that's what it's like. John 14. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me." Jesus Christ is the way to God. Now, to say such a thing, Jesus Christ wasn't egotistical. He was telling the truth. That's the truth. That's what it is. He's the guy. It's him. He's the one. Now, look down at verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for my very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that what? Believeth on me." That sounds like a prerequisite. "Believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." This is either a lie or it's the truth that God wanted us to know and understand and believe. And I believe it is the absolute truth. That when we believe, he that believeth on me, it says, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ as if he was talking to God. Verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Just incredibly awesome. So this is our legal right to use this name. This has all been completely worked out because he gave us that right. He's given us the power of attorney to use his name here on earth anytime we want to. And all the resources that are in that name are behind that name. It's like, I got access to something. I got something here. We got something here. You better believe we got something here. We got the best. We have the name of Jesus Christ that we could use. Ephesians 1, 18. Ephesians 1:18. It says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? Believe according to the working of his mighty power." Power to usward who believe. You know, it's not hard to believe. It's really not. Because if it took a lot of work and effort to believe, I'd be out. It's not hard to believe. So, according to the to his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What kind of power does it take to raise a man from the dead? You want to hook up the electrical feed of New York City to a guy? That's not enough. What kind of power are we talking about? The kind of power to raise a man from the dead. That's the kind of power God wrought in Christ. And that's the kind of power that he gave to us. Awesome. Far above, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, whatever's coming next, that's still going to be the greatest name. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God operated his power. He raised up Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at his right hand, far above all that stuff. We as believers in the body of Christ can claim that power and that name. Jesus Christ acquired that name. And it's our legal right as believers to use it. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to use that name. And it belongs to us, anyone who's part of this body of Christ. For the most part, Christians in the church have not used this power in the name of Jesus Christ to any great extent. And without using that name, you cannot manifest God's power. You see, in the name of Jesus Christ, the sick are healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, people are raised from the dead. In the name of Jesus Christ, devils are cast out. The name of Jesus Christ is the juice card in this life. Money is not the juice card. The name of Jesus Christ is the juice card. It's a privilege that we have to use this power in this day and time. And we should expect great results when we use his name. And it's all because God wants to bless us and take care of us in this life, to help us. It's not like, you know, he wants to take care of us, and this is what he gave us. So we shouldn't be afraid to use this deal that we have. Now, using the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I'm separating it from just praying in the name of Jesus Christ here. I'm talking about manifesting God's power. It's like when God worked in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ did it. Except now, it's you and me who Christ is in. There's no difference. Just like God worked in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ manifested God's power, since he's in us, we manifest God's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no difference. He's in us. So Acts chapter 3, please. And this is after they received Spirit within, after the day of Pentecost. And they were, at this time, living it up. You know, the end of Acts chapter 2, how they fellowshipped and ate each other's food and were just so blessed together. And then you have this Acts chapter 3. In verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, who was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. All right? He needed legs, but he's asking alms here. Alms. Now, he wasn't there asking for money. All right? He was not there asking for money. In fact, he probably had some because he was carried daily, wasn't he? He had some people working for him. So he wasn't asking for money. He was asking for prayers. He was asking for alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. These guys were walking in, and he interrupted them and asked them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So, at that time, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. No. This is really interesting. He didn't just say that and all of a sudden he just got up and walked. I skipped a sentence there. You see that? It says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. So he said those words, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then he took him by the hand, the right hand, and lifted him up. You know what that is? That's believing action. He said it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and then he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. This is the kind of stuff that requires revelation from God. It's manifesting God's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And here they are doing it as these guys who had just received spirit within, right after the birth of the church. So he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What a scene that must have been for all those guys who saw him every day out there, you know. Look down at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered. Oh, all the people were coming together. They were so happy. And there was. He saw it and he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Oh, why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified" who? His son Jesus, who ye delivered up, by the way. Just FYI, remember? The one you delivered up? Denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Who, by the way, had the same name, didn't he? What was his name? Jesus? Barabbas? See, Jesus is a common name. Even today, people are called Jesus. But we're talking about the one, Jesus Christ. In verse 14 and 15, "And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses." Now, verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, who you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Faith here in this verse is believing. The right way of believing. Believing regarding Jesus Christ, as opposed to all other ways of believing. And in the book, A Journey Through Acts and the Epistles, this verse reads, verse 16, "His name hath made this man strong, the man whom ye see and know, by the right way of believing in his name, and the right way of believing, which is through him, Jesus Christ, gave him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." It's believing in that name. It's not our name. It's not us that does the work. It's not just power that comes from just us. It's power in the name of Jesus Christ, the one depicted in the stars, the one that God named as his only begotten son, the one that he raised from the dead with the kind of power it took. That is the guy in his name. That's how to get it done. And that's what he told him. And then in chapter 4, verse 7, the Inquisition. What all is this about now? Chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Awesome. They want to know. They want to know the word. They want to learn so they could use the name. I don't think so. Not these folks, anyway. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole." Even by him, the guy that you killed. Even by him does this man stand here before you whole. "This is a stone which is set at naught of ye builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's it. Take your searching boots off. You don't need to go to look to some other country, into their ancient, dusty, old, smelly books. You got it right here. And then later in this chapter, verse 29, Jerry mentioned this last night. This is a prayer. These guys were praying, and they said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with what?
Boldness.
With boldness. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Now, to just say the words or to just say the name of Jesus, that's not all that's necessary, as we saw in these verses. They're not magic words that anybody could just say, "Oh, in the name of Jesus, boom," and it's done. It takes believing, like we read in Acts 3:16, the right way of believing concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on believing in him and on him. Now, what are the enemies of believing that we know of?
Fear.
Doubt. Worry. Mental assent. Those are the enemies of believing. But when you think about the word, you think about verses like 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
Fear. But of what?
Power.
And of what?
Love.
And sound mind." That's what we have. Fear is unacceptable. Fear is just not from God. We shouldn't live with it and work around it and figure out ways to work around it. Get it gone. You don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Let me just tell you, I had to edit out like 50 pages of my teaching. One of the things I was going to share was about that record where some dudes tried to use the name that Paul preached and, you know, whatnot, Seven Sons of Sceva. And, you know, how did that end up for them? Well, what transpired from that point to where they were running out of the house naked and wounded, God only knows. But, you know, we shouldn't be afraid that that's going to happen to us. Because we believe. We know. And then in Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a what?
A lion.
my Julie, ah, she roars when I tell that verse. She, ah, the righteous are bold as a lion. We have a lion in us, Jesus Christ, who's represented in the stars as a lion, stomping the adversary's head. Awesome. We don't have to be afraid. We believe on that name. Do you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead?
Yes.
Then you believe on that name. He's up. But we don't have to be afraid. So let's use the name of Jesus Christ when we pray and when we manifest God's power. What value is it to have a bank account loaded with money if you never use your card and you never use it? What's the value in it? You might as well not have it, right? Let's use the name that we have. It's our taking the place of Jesus Christ here on earth now. And to close, 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 17, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." That's talking about Jesus Christ. As he is, as Jesus Christ is, so are we in this world. So prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, it's like Jesus Christ is praying to God, except it's you and me. Using the power of the name of Jesus Christ, it's just like when God worked in Jesus Christ and he did those things, except it's us. As he is, so are we in this world. The ability of Christ in us is determined by the value we hold of that name of Jesus Christ. Let's elevate it. Let's bring it up. All that God planned from the beginning, I'm referencing creation, when God created and he put the stars in place and he drew that picture of Jesus Christ up there. All that God planned from the beginning is in that name. All that Jesus Christ was during his life here upon earth is in that name. All that he is today, seated at the right hand of God, is in that name. We have Christ in us. We have his name. Today we act in Christ's stead here on earth. We have his name because of spiritual birth. And that name has lost none of its power whatsoever. We have an earthly name. My name is Dean Gary Mercado. And I could use that name because I am he. You can use your name because you're you. The name of Jesus Christ also belongs to you and me. And we could use that name because he's in you and me. So it's a tremendous life we have. We're not in the group of people in the world who just don't know. We know, because we know a little bit about God's word, and we understand what the name of Jesus Christ really means and what it is. And we'll be learning the depths of it for the rest of our lives as I've found in looking up this stuff about the name of Jesus Christ. But what an honor we have, what a privilege we have, and what a great responsibility we have that we are given the authority, us, you know, the people we know, us, we're given the authority to use the greatest name that will ever ring in our ears, the name of Jesus Christ. So God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, it'd be good to get ministered to this weekend if you need to get prayed for. There is no shame in seeking out someone to pray for you if you need healing or deliverance. So use what you got. You know, that's what I kept thinking when Dean was sharing, you know, to utilize what we have. I mean, you know, it is. That's a ridiculous subject to teach because it's so vast. But it is so important to understand that in the name. And boy, a lot of people in here have seen the power of that name manifested through the years. The healings I've seen, the deliverances I've seen, spirits leaving, people getting born again, people getting led into speaking in tongues, people, which I understand happened today for several, four people, I guess, at least. And boy, the name of Jesus Christ is, you know, weddings. I was just thinking of weddings. And boy, how I love weddings. But it's in the name of God our Father, in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. As a minister, it's a huge responsibility to marry someone. And as a couple, it's a huge responsibility to accept that. Just even that, marriage, even that. Of course, that's a big deal. But even that, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. When we pray for our food, you know. Yeah, that gets you thinking. That whole lion thing got me thinking. What a great, great thing, Dean. Thanks for sharing.